Micah, Prophet Micah chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt. I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Amen. This is the reading of God's holy word. People of God, as we read the prophet Micah, you will encounter that he lived in days in which the people of Israel, the rulers, and the people in general were not living obediently to the commandments of the Lord. And Micah speaks of judgment, of punishment, but Micah also speaks of hope, of salvation and comfort for the people of God. But indeed, he lived in days in which he saw sin, wickedness going rampant in the people of Israel. People didn't want to submit to the word of God. And Micah, as a faithful and true prophet, he prophesies, he communicated the word of God to the people of Israel for them to repent and come back to the Lord. It wasn't easy for him, as it wasn't easy for many prophets in the Old Testament, to see the people of Israel going after idols, going after false gods, committing injustice, letting the peoples, the poor people in the country, the ones who were not living in the cities like Jerusalem and Samaria, just starving to death. It was so painful for them to see this. And the Lord gave them the strength to prophesy and faithfully to deliver the message of the Lord, a message many times of judgment, but also of hope. And brothers and sisters, as you see also in the world today, so many sins, so much wickedness, how can we Christians be comforted? How can we Christians have hope? How can we be strengthened in order to trust in our Lord? But our God is the Almighty God. And He reminds us who He is, the nature of Himself, in order for us to remember what kind of God we have. And this is what Micah does at the very end of his book, beginning in verse 18. And he speaks of this loving and forgiving God. And he talked to the people of Israel, come back to this Lord, this God who is going to forgive your sins and give you redemption. But they never listened. Micah lived in a time in which still Jerusalem and Samaria, the two kingdoms in Israel, were not captive. He prophesied hundreds of years before the king of Assyria and the king of Babylon came and destroyed Samaria and Jerusalem and took them captives to Assyria and Babylonia, or Babylon. So he told the people, repent and come back to the Lord, and they didn't do it. But Micah and the remnant of the people of God found comfort and strength and joy in serving a God who cannot be compared to any other God. And this is what we read in verse 18. Micah asks, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Who is a God like you? The name of Micah, brothers and sisters, means who is like Yahweh. And when he asked the question, who is a God like you? He remembers that there is no other God like the God of Israel. He's not expecting an answer from the people of Israel as if there were other true gods besides the God of Israel. He knows, and he just asks rhetorically, who is this God? No one. Because there is no other God like him. You remember from Psalm 115 that the psalmist reminds the people of Israel that there are no other gods. And the gods of the Gentiles and their idols, he says in verse 3, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see, etc., etc. And then he says in verse 8, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. So there are no other gods before the one living and true God of Israel. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 reminds us of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 4. He says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. So Micah is not expecting an answer from the people of Israel because they knew that the God of Israel cannot be compared to any other God because he is the only true and living God. Who is a God like you? And now he proceeds to describe the nature, the character of this wonderful God. He says, who is a God like you pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? How can Micah speak this way when he saw the rulers in Israel, when he saw the people committing injustice, neglecting the word of God, following their own opinions, going after idols and false gods? How is it that Micah is able to say, who is a God like you pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Brothers and sisters, they only deserve the punishment of God. They didn't deserve the forgiveness of the Lord. But Micah reminds them, this God, in his own nature, his own character, is a pardoning God, a forgiving God. And also this was to remind them that if they were forgiven by the Lord, it was not because they deserve it. It was not because they did good works. On the contrary, they did evil works. But Micah says, this is a God who pardons, who forgives iniquities, and who passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Both words iniquity and passing over, brothers and sisters, point to the fact that the people of Israel were covenant breakers. They willingly disobey and break God's holy covenant. But God says through prophet Micah that he pardons, he forgives iniquities, and he passes over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. You see, sometimes when we are upset and our children do something that is not proper, or our friends do something that is not proper, or we do, we sometimes say, okay, I'll forget about it. No, I'll forgive you. We pass over that sin. And Micah says that God does the same thing. And God passes over. He is like closing his eyes and says, I don't want to see this. I know it is there, but I am merciful and I'm going to forgive you. This is remarkable in view of the fact that they did not deserve the forgiveness of God. So who is a God like you? And Micah wants to show them and show us as well that there is no other God like Yahweh, like the Lord, like Jehovah, who forgives a wicked people, who forgives a rebellious people. And he says, this is a God that you cannot find anywhere else. This is a God that is indeed gracious and merciful to you. Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? Because we are not different from the Israelites. They were sinners. They were rebellious. We are also sinners. We are also rebellious. But God in His Word, in His grace and mercy, reminds us of the nature of Himself. And He says to us, I forgive your iniquity. I forgive your transgression, even when you willingly and consciously break my covenant, I forgive you. Not because you deserve it, but because I am merciful to you. We know, brothers and sisters, that when God forgives us, it's not in order for us to continue living in sin. Paul says in Romans 6 the following, a very familiar passage. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, it is good to know that God is a forgiving God. But it is only, as we're reading through the Heidelberg Catechism, it is only when you become aware of your sin, when we become aware of our iniquities and transgressions, that we have no hope with Christ. It is only then when we realize and we humble ourselves because this forgiving and pardoning Lord who rescues us, who delivers us from condemnation. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? No one. And brothers and sisters, this message of God forgiving our sins is not only present here in Micah. It is present throughout the scriptures, because that is the nature and the character of God. Let's read Exodus 34, in which we find these beautiful words. Exodus 34, Exodus 34, beginning in verse 36, beginning in in verse 6 and 7. Sorry, it was 34. 34, 6 and 7. We read these beautiful words. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. You see, this is our God. This is our God who is slow to anger, but he's great in mercy. This is the God who forgives our iniquities and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. But notice, brothers and sisters, that this God who forgives, it is a God who is holy, as we read at the beginning of the worship service. He is a holy God, and he forgives out of grace and mercy to his remnant. But when he says that he forgives the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, this is in order to correct a misunderstanding that was going on in the people of Israel in that time. That misunderstanding of the nature and the character of God was this. They said, we are the people of God. He must forgive us. He must forgive me. We have the temple of Jerusalem. The temple, the temple, the temple. We are the chosen people of God. But Micah says that God hates sin, and that he forgives the remnant of his heritage. And the word remnant refers to a small group of faithful people. Not those who trust in themselves, but those who acknowledge that they are sinners, that they do not deserve this forgiveness of the Lord, who say, Lord, I am condemned in myself. I have no hope in me, but you are my hope. Forgive my sins. So Micah is saying, the Lord forgives his remnant, his chosen ones, those who humble before him, not those who are arrogant, not those who are proud, not those who thought, I belong to the people of Israel, therefore the Lord must forgive me. No, brothers and sisters. God hates sin. And when we come to him, as the psalmist says in Psalm 51:17, with a broken and contrite heart, the Lord does not reject us. But when we come with an arrogant heart, assuming that because we are members of the people of God, then he has to forgive us. We are wrong. So, but the people understood the nature and character of God in that way. But Micah says, no, he is a forgiving God. He passes over the transgression of ours, but he also demands from us to humble ourselves, to acknowledge that we need him, to know that when we come to him with a broken and contrite heart, he will not reject us. And we know that awareness of our sins is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When we see that we have offended the Lord with our sins. But the point is this. Micah says to the people of Israel, even though you are living in wickedness, even though you are committing injustices, even though you are going after false gods and idols, if you repent, God will forgive you. There is always hope. There is always abundant redemption and forgiveness in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we, as we said before, we are not different. We are also sinners. We commit sins in so many ways. And the gospel is this, that if we come and confess our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ is just and faithful to forgive all our sins, and not only that, but to cleanse us from all iniquity. There is no other God like this who will forgive you, who will extend His grace and mercy to you and me. Do you remember, brothers and sisters, the story from Exodus 34 that we just read about God Himself saying, I am a merciful God, a forgiving God. The background was that the people of Israel, when Moses went to Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights, they became anxious and they just built a golden calf, an idol. And it is in that context when Moses humbles himself before the Lord and says, forgive your people. This is your people. And then the Lord says, I am merciful. I am gracious. I am going to forgive them. And it is the same thing with us today. Even though we do not deserve, even though when we are living in wickedness, if we repent, if we confess our sins, Micah says, there is no other God like our God who will forgive your sins, who will forgive your transgressions. But why is it that God acts that way? Notice what He says in the second part of verse 18. He says, He does not retain His anger forever, but He delights in mercy. He does not retain His anger forever, but He delights in mercy. The people of Israel never listened to the prophet Micah. The remnant did, but the rulers and the people in general did not listen to the words of God through Micah. And Micah is speaking, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that one day the Assyrians and the Babylonians will come and take them captive for 70 years. But Micah says, He does not retain His anger forever. He will not remain angry at His people forever. Otherwise, He will destroy us. But He is merciful and gracious. But why? And Micah gives us the answer in beautiful words. He says, because He delights in mercy. You see, this is a God who loves to forgive. This is a God who loves to show mercy to you and to me when we do not deserve it. And in spite of our weaknesses, and in spite of our sins, this God, when we come to Him acknowledging that we are sinners, He delights, He rejoices. He loves to forgive us. He says He delights in mercy. And brothers and sisters, this word mercy, as we will see later as well, the word mercy refers to the steadfast love of God. To that love that persists. To that love that remains. To that love that doesn't change because of the circumstances around us. We as humans, because of the circumstances surrounding us, we change. We don't show love. We don't show mercy. We get angry and upset, and it is so hard to forgive. But God doesn't change. He delights in mercy. He delights in forgiving His people. Micah now continues in verse 19 saying, He will again have compassion on us, and He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You see, the words of Micah refer to the time when the captives of Israel will come back to the promised land, to Israel again after the 70 years of captivity. He says, He will again have compassion on us, and He will subdue our iniquities. But once again, reflect and remember how the people of Israel fare in exile. Most of them actually didn't come back to Jerusalem. They preferred to stay in Babylon, in Assyria, and in other nations. They had a comfortable life. They didn't want to come and live according to the covenant of the Lord. And even in exile, when they didn't deserve the compassion, the tender mercies of the Lord, Micah says to them, He will again have compassion on us. He will again have mercy on you. He will again have mercy on us. Who is a God like our God? Just think about it. How much we sin against Him in so many different ways. But He again has compassion on us. But notice what He says immediately. He says, He will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Notice the word subdue and also cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Those words are military words. Those words refer to defeating the enemy, to destroying our enemy. And brothers and sisters, sin is our enemy. Sin is our enemy that enslaves us. Satan enslaves us to himself through sin. And we cannot have freedom unless God comes and destroys our sins. Unless God comes and, through the Lord Jesus Christ, defeats our sin. This means then that the Israelite had to know, and we have to know, that as we said before, when God forgives us, it's not in order for us to continue living in sin. But when God forgives us, He destroys our sin, showing that it is our enemy, that living in sin is not good for us, that living in sin is not pleasing to the Lord, but living in sin is to destroy and condemn ourselves. But God comes out of mercy and He says, I am going to subdue your iniquities. I'm going to destroy them. And when He says, I will cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. Do you boys and girls remember what happened with the Egyptian army when they were following the people of Israel before the Red Sea? What is it that happened? God cast them into the depths of the sea. They drowned. And this is the imagery that Micah is using, saying that as the Egyptians were the enemy of the people of Israel, and He destroyed them and cast them into the depth of the sea, so our sins is our enemy. And because He loves us so much, He will destroy our sin. He will liberate us from our sins and will send them into the depths of the sea. This is the only living and true God, that there is no other like Him. When we deserve to be subdued, defeated, and destroyed, when we deserve to be cast into the depths of the sea, He frees us. He comes and liberates us from our sins in order to have forgiveness and eternal life. But was God acting out of mere emotion, brothers and sisters, when He gave these words to Micah? Was God being changed because of the circumstances around Him? And then He sent to Micah to pronounce these beautiful words? No. God remains the same. He's a forgiving God. And this is lastly what we learn in verse 20. He says, You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which You have sworn to our fathers from days of old. These words are taking us back to the book of Genesis, when God made a covenant with Abraham. and told him, I will bless you. And from you will come one who will deliver you from your sins and bring salvation to all nations. And I will make you a great nation. So these were the terms of the covenant. And God is always faithful to his covenant. That's why the words truth and mercy in English at first sight don't communicate much to us perhaps. But for the Hebrews, when they heard the word truth and mercy, they were remembering that God was always faithful to his covenant. That God will always fulfill his word. That he will not change because the nature of himself is unchangeable. He is the God that remains the same, a loving and forgiving God. And this is so wonderful for us. Because we change. Because we are rebellious. Because we sin, and what we deserve is his judgment. But he says, you will give truth to Jacob, which is a way to say you will confirm the truth that you said to Jacob. And the mercy to Abraham. He mentions both Jacob and Abraham because what the promise that he gave to Abraham was repeated to Isaac and also to Jacob and to all the descendants of Abraham. It is the same promise. And what is the essence of that promise? The Lord Jesus Christ. That one day he was going to send his only begotten Son to die for all our sins. He was the one who suffered in our place. He was the one who experienced the judgment of God, the wrath of God, so that you and I may be delivered from the wrath of God. Psalm 105, verse 9 and 10, it's a beautiful psalm which reminds us of God's faithfulness. It says, Psalm 105, 9, the covenant, he says, which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. You see, this is the God that fulfilled his word. The Jews, the people of Israel, deserve to stay in Assyria and Babylon in exile. But God says through the prophet Micah, you will give truth to Jacob. You will confirm, you will fulfill that truth, that mercy, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. The promises of the Lord are always sure. He always fulfills his word. And do you remember what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1? He says that the promises of God in Jesus Christ are always yes and amen. Yes and amen. And it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to be the remnant of the Lord's heritage. That we're able to experience the forgiveness of the Lord. It is only the one who remains faithful and obedient that we're able to say, who is a God like you? Who forgives sinners like me, like you? Who delights in mercy and he has compassion on us day by day. Brothers and sisters, Micah was praying, was singing, was proclaiming. Many of the commentators say, well, this is a prayer of confession. Some of them say, this is a hymn of praise. And it is all of that. Because he was praying, he was exalting, he was singing to the Lord and saying, who is a God like you? No one. You are the only living and true God who forgives our iniquities. When you are hesitant of the Lord's forgiveness, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and remember that God delights in mercy, in a steadfast love, and He will forgive you. When you have been living in sin continually, just come with a broken and contrite heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will experience once again the tender mercies of your Heavenly Father. Amen.